Well, tonight's message, last week we talked about living in the Spirit. This week we're going to talk about the fruit of love, the fruit of love. Romans 5:5 says, "The love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." We started in February. Some of you weren't here, but in February we started talking about new life in Christ and how we are new creations in Christ Jesus at the point that we choose to follow him. And then it is our goal from that point of conversion on to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. Amen? And then lately in the past few weeks, we have been learning how this indwelling Holy Spirit, the life of the Spirit of God in us that empowers us to be transformed. We've been learning about that. The Holy Spirit comes into us, indwells us, fills us, and gives us the power to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. Love is the foremost fruit of the Spirit. Last week we just mentioned briefly the fruit of the Spirit, so we're going to be looking at that a little bit more tonight. Now, love is the foremost fruit of the Spirit. Each fruit of the Spirit is but a different facet of love. As we abide in the Spirit's presence and allow the love of God to dwell in our hearts, it will produce in us an abundance of spiritual fruit, transforming us from the inside out to become more like him. Does that sound good? All right, so we're going to learn more about fruit. Now, I like makeovers. Anybody like makeovers? You know, of any kind. I mean, you know, even like you see a house, you know, that's old and needs to be remodeled and made over. And I like to see the finished product. And sometimes they drag it out and they throw in all this drama and stuff, you know. And I'm just like, what does it look like at the end? You know, I just like to see the end product and the before and afters. And you know, sometimes I'm flipping through the stations and you know maybe an infomercial will come up about you know a makeover, a beauty makeover, or something like that. There's some wonder cream that you know will make you 10 years younger. And I'm like, oh, okay, let's watch this for a minute. Let's see. I want to see what actually happens. Put it on her face. Slap on the mud. Let's see what happens. But. The thing is, you know, maybe you'll look 40 when you're 50, but eventually you're going to be 60 and you're going to look 50, right? So eventually it's all going to catch up with us. However, in our new life in Christ, we have begun our eternal life. We've talked about this before. The moment of our conversion, our eternal life starts now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to start our eternal life. That was kind of revelation for me. You know, it's like, what? Oh, yeah. Well, if I'm living in my eternal life now, no wonder it's supposed to be the abundant life. I need to change my perspective. You see, when I was younger, I would get this sense of, you know, I was kind of melancholy. I think I've kind of given that to you guys. I went through this, you know, teenage depression stage, and I had this melancholy, and I looked at things as maintenance. Have you ever, like, read the book of Ecclesiastes or heard it read maybe at a funeral or something like that? They don't read this part of it, but you've heard meaningless, meaningless, all is meaningless. Have you heard that? Vanity, vanity. And, you know, I could relate to that. So I was like, you know, yeah. The teacher was speaking that. But you know, even by the end of the book, that teacher of wisdom, he comes to the conclusion that apart from living for God, all pursuits are meaningless in this temporal realm. The creams wear off. Now, I eventually got out of my feeling, maintenance, all is maintenance. You know, that was my thing. It was like, man, I just showered yesterday. I have to shower again. You know, I just did the dishes for breakfast. Now I have to do the dishes again for lunch, and you know, I'm going to have to do them for dinner too, because that was my job. Doing, you know, it just felt like, ah, you know, you buy a new car, but eventually it breaks down, you got to buy another new car, you know, and this, anybody ever felt that way? It's just like, ah, life is just, I had a lot of powerlessness. Can anybody feel that as I'm saying that? You guys can feel it? I don't feel it anymore. I'm healed from that. No, seriously, I had to deal with that because it was like, I can't live with this heaviness, this, you know, feeling of like life is like drudgery and maintenance all the time. What the revelation that the Lord gave me about that was that God is my one constant in a world of inconsistencies. I've shared that with some of you before. God is my one constant in a world of inconsistencies that leave me feeling powerlessness, leave me feeling powerless to this, you know, maintenance of life. No, in God I can stand. But the life in the Spirit is true transformation. It's not just repeating the same old things over and over again, trying to fix things or, you know, keep them together or maintain them. Life in the Spirit is true transformation. Like one ministry, Transformation Prayer Ministry that I'm associated with, the ministry describes transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit as maintenance-free. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit comes in and he heals you, he doesn't have to do it again. You're healed in that place. Amen? Okay, now, how many of you have experienced that? I can point at many of you, I know. I know I have. And so that's part of walking in the Holy Spirit. He is going to transform us in those areas of our lives where we still have the old patterns of thinking in our minds. We're still going, you know, still need to be transformed in those areas of our lives, in our minds, of our thinking. And God comes in with the power of the Holy Spirit and transforms us. And no maintenance required. Amen? When we allow ourselves to be transformed by allowing God to change the way we think, we are stamped with an eternal lifetime guarantee. That's like the seal of the Holy Spirit. Maintenance free for life. As we live in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, he will produce fruit in us that is imperishable. That means it doesn't go bad. The goal of our new life in Christ as believers is not simply to secure a place in eternity. That is one of the most wonderful things about it. But it's also to bear the fruit of the Spirit. That is, to be transformed into God's likeness, to become mature and to grow in our knowledge and our understanding of God and to become more like Christ. So last week I said we looked briefly at the fruits of the Spirit. Love is the foremost fruit of the Spirit. And in Galatians 5, we are given that list. Come on, read it with me. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. First on the list of the Spirit's work in our lives. I guess I preached us into a spot. I just want to make sure that... Are we good, you guys? Can I keep going? Okay. We lost it? Okay. We don't need slides, right? We don't need slides. I probably wasn't following them anyway. Okay. So the first and foremost on the list is love. This is not the love that the Greek word eros talks about. Some of you heard this before. Eros means, you know, a strong desire or lust, you know, it's It's not that kind of love. And there's another Greek word, phileo or phileo. Canadians said it phileo. It sounds like something you get at McDonald's, so phileo, which is just brotherly affection, good, strong friendship. It's not that kind of love. The love of God is agape. Agape is the Greek word that we use for godly love. And it is the self-sacrificial choice that sent Jesus to the cross. The agape referred to in John 15:13 is this: greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Here is the highest reach of love, the self-sacrifice which spares not even life itself. There is not a greater degree of love that exists in the world. Now, the most complete description of agape is found in 1 Corinthians 13, which we hear at weddings quite often. We hear it on TV. It's very familiar. I'm going to read it from the Message because it's going to make it stand out to you even more, because we're so familiar sometimes that we don't really listen. We just kind of go, oh, yeah, 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 I know that. So I'm going to read it. Just listen to this. The way of love. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but a creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's words with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and the mountain jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares for others more than self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel. No. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. This is the way of love. Described in 1 Corinthians. Love is action, not simply emotion. However, the fruit of love is not the product of our own striving, but rather the outcome of our choosing to live in the Spirit's presence. It is not of our own effort, but the Spirit of God empowering us to love. The New Living Translation says it like this: for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So even when we struggle to love, our prayer can be, Holy Spirit, please give me the grace to love. I'm not feeling it, but I want to love because you want me to love. Give me the ability. Give me the power to love. Give me the power to love the unlovely. Give me the power to love those I don't like, those who have hurt me, those who have sinned against me. Holy Spirit, give me the power to love. Doesn't have to come out from within us. We don't have it. We don't have agape in us without the Holy Spirit living in us. You hear that? Agape is the sacrificial choice to love, and it is above honor. It is above pride. Agape love chooses to be kind and patient in the face of insult. It is humble despite others' arrogance. It doesn't worry about honor or revenge because agape love is empowered by the Holy Spirit. It can ignore worldly values and the focus on the hope that others will be drawn to God as well. It hopes all things, bears all things. Amen. Thinks the good of others, always thinks of others more highly. 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. It is essential to his nature. And when we love, when we seek to benefit others with no regard for the cost to ourselves, we show that we know God. They shall know us by our love. Amen. Love grows in the presence of God. As we spend time in his presence, allowing his Spirit to transform us, we will be empowered to love God and to love others. You know, we've all talked about from time to time, we've all heard this before, but you know how some couples, they're together for, you know, 60 something years or whatever, and pretty soon they begin to like even look like each other, you know? They're like finishing each other's sentences, and they, like, even in their appearance, they start looking like each other. They walk the same, and they giggle at the same time, and, you know, they'll answer questions the same way. I've heard it said the same for pets, too. You heard about that? Yeah. Pet people, you know, they start to look like their pets. Yeah, I don't know why I threw that in, but the reason is, like, just, you know, as we spend time with someone, we start to pick up, you know, their idiosyncrasies. We start to pick up some of their character traits. That's what relationship is all about. So as we spend time with God, as we spend time in prayer, in reading the Word, in listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, living in the Spirit, we're going to become more like Christ. Amen? You can spend time with God, abiding in his presence, seeking his face, communing with him, inquiring after him, asking for understanding and grace and healing. You can't do that and not be transformed. And we have all of that available to us. We just have to choose to go there, right? And to remain there, right? That's what is living in the Spirit, abiding in the Spirit. His presence is dynamic. His presence is his Spirit, the Holy Spirit at work in us, transforming us from the inside out to be lovers of God and lovers of others. Agape lovers. 1 John 4:12 says, if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. How many of you want God's love to be perfected in you? I know I do. So that raises the question then. Some of you might be thinking this, if all this is true, God's love indwells in us, then why are we so often so loveless? Why do we so often have little affection for God and for others? Well, in fact, our love, our human love, is totally inadequate We look at certain people who are maybe considered unlovely in the eyes of the world or our culture. And instead of love, we just automatically choose to judge them instead or dislike them. We sometimes don't even think twice about it. You know what I'm talking about? We all do it. We don't even think twice. Sometimes before we know it, you know, we make this judgment call. Someone we don't even know, just by our appearance, by how they appear, or by what our eyes see. We look at certain people, instead of loving them, we dislike them. But God's love alone is the love that is adequate. And that agape love is what the Holy Spirit has poured into us as believers. So we need to tap into that. When we're not so feeling so loving, maybe we're stirred up about our own stuff or whatever, we can ask, Holy Spirit, help me to love. Give me the grace to love. Right now I feel like judging. Don't know why. There's something I'm believing back there. But you know what, Lord? I want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit here. I want to choose to love because I know that's what you would want, and I know that's the right thing to do. Amen? God's love alone is adequate. Only by His Spirit can we love God and love others as we love ourselves. As we live in the Spirit's presence, we will begin to see others as God sees them, through His eyes of love. So we need to be living in the Spirit and walking and abiding in the Spirit so that we can start to see others how we should be seeing them, through God's eyes of love. Amen? And so we can start loving God. We don't even have the ability to love God. We love Him because He first loved us. He put His love in us and gave us His love, so now we can love Him back. We can tap into that. It's in us. We just have to choose to say, God, I want to love You. I don't even know how right now. I'm not feeling it because my feelings are lying to me, but I choose to put Your love in me. Help me to love You. Teach me to love You the way You want me to love You. Help me to love others the way You love others. Help me to love myself the way You love me. How often do we say that? Now I'm going to take a side note here because that's really important. Because a lot of times we beat ourselves up, we judge ourselves, we condemn ourselves, but Jesus isn't doing that. So we need to stop that too. So a lot of times we need to say, God, help me to love myself the way You love me. Because then we're walking in the truth of who we are in Christ. If Jesus is saying, I've chosen you to do this and I love you so much, and you're going, no, I'm not. I'm unworthy. We're not agreeing with the truth of who we are in Christ. We need to say, I am worthy, but only because Your stripes. I am worthy because You made me worthy. By Your righteousness, I am righteousness. And so I'm choosing to agree with that. Amen? Amen. And walk in it, because that's what He wants us to do. Don't let the enemy drag you down to self-condemnation. Okay, that was on a side note. No charge. His fruit of love is being perfected in us as we spend time in His presence. Now, each fruit of the Spirit is a different facet of love. So now, J. Oswald Sanders, I love the way this guy writes. He explains how this is so true, and he explains it very poetically. He says, God is love. Joy is love's song. Peace is love's restfulness. Patience is love's endurance. Kindness is love's sympathy. Goodness is love's self-forgetfulness. Faithfulness is love's trustworthiness. Self-control is love's discipline. The fruit of the Spirit produces in us the character traits found in the nature of Christ. Now, you may look at the list of spiritual fruit and feel like it is an impossible reach for you to attain. And you know what? That's the truth. It's impossible for any of us to attain that on our own. But as we allow, as you allow yourself to be led by the Spirit produces the fruit. And as you continually walk with the Spirit's help, the fruit of the Spirit will give you the ability to love God and to love others. As you abide in the Spirit's presence, He will produce in you an abundance of spiritual fruit, not of your own works, but of His Spirit, transforming you to become more like Christ. We cannot produce the love of God in us. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. And without the Spirit's help, our love can never be what God desires from us or what others need from us. But because we are in Christ and we have His Spirit within us, God's love is being continually poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And it is our choice to believe it, to receive it, to experience it, and to share this agape love with others. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. And Lord, I know that You are all for us. Lord, You are just wanting so much for us to know who You created us to be. You're wanting so much, You desire so much for us to be drawn back to You and to understand who we are in Christ so that we can walk confidently in relationship with You, in an intimate relationship with our Maker. Lord, You long for Your children to know who they are, just like we long for our children to know who they are and to be blessed. So Lord, we receive Your blessings tonight. Lord, we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We receive the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Show us more of You. Reveal in us more of Your nature, Lord, that we might love You more and that we might love others the way You would have us to. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.